What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to a new edition of the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm Jennifer Lyerly, and I am joined on this podcast with the, I don't know, I almost called you the lovely Daryl Glover, but that sounded really weird, so I caught myself before I said that.
I can be lovely too, Jen. I don't mind that at all.
Okay. Well, you are lovely in spirit and nature, Daryl Glover.
Jen, how was your day today? How was everything in the clinic?
Really good. You know, just a normal day of patient care. What about yourself?
It was cool. You know, we just came back from, well, I work Saturday, so one day of the holiday. But, you know, every Monday to me, I know some people regret or dread going into patient care on Monday. But for me, it's like, it's my time. You know, I love patient care. I love to run my mouth. So it's like, I'm ready to go and I'm super excited every Monday.
Well, you know, before we got into patient care and of course, everything that we do every single day, we had to go to school. And so I'm asking you on today's podcast to rewind to your mental, like where you were with your mental state when you were an optometry school student. Were you a member of any clubs on campus?
I was actually a member of NOSA, a National Optometric Student Association. And I was actually president as well.
Wow. And, not only were you in a club, you were like in charge of a club. That's really impressive.
Well, Jen, you know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right, you know?
That sounds a lot like you.
How about yourself, Jen?
You know, this is probably embarrassing, but really the only club I was a part of was Omega Delta, which was our social club. That's the way we got discounted tickets to the social events during the year. So it was really like joining a coupon cutter sort of thing.
Hey, I like that, Jen. You know, I'm all about saving some money. I'm kind of frugal. That's what my wife says, at least, you know. Yeah.
I wish looking back on it now that I had been a lot more involved. And so whenever I hear about students that have gotten involved, not only really big membership within their student organizations, but actually starting their own clubs on campus, it really inspires me because I know how busy and how difficult optometry school is. And it's easy to think like, oh, I don't have time for doing these things. But these extracurricular activities are so important, not only to your personal development as an optometry school student, but also to giving back to the student body as a whole. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's podcast guest. We've got Dalton Kincaid and Dr. Felicia Timmerman.
Hi, my name's Dalton, and I am the founder of a new club on campus, which is Spectrum here at Nova Southeastern University.
And hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Felicia Timmerman, and I'm an assistant professor of optometry here at Nova Southeastern University, and also the chief of the eye care services at the KID Clinic, which is an external clinical site here at Nova Southeastern University.
Thank you guys both so much for joining us today. And I think it's so great to have this perspective because we have Dalton, who's the student who started this club, but then Dr. Timmerman, who's kind of made it possible by being the sponsor of the club. So Dalton, I want to start with you. What year are you at school? Just give us a little bit of your background.
Sure. So I am currently finishing up my first year at Nova Southeastern University College of Optometry. We're actually in finals week now. I kind of got into optometry kind of roundabout way. I am originally from Southeast Ohio. So I went to the Ohio State University for undergrad, and I actually studied Spanish for my 4 years there. And I wanted to take Spanish into the healthcare field. So when I first arrived at campus, I started looking for a job in research. And I knew that research would be a good experience and good for any kind of resume purposes, no matter which area I ended up in the healthcare field. So I conveniently and ironically today ended up finding a research position in optometry. So for 2 years after that, after I first got there, I was studying ciliary muscle development and the relationship between dopamine and myopia. I did some pupil studies as well. We were studying accommodative spasm, stuff like that. That was just like a first year in undergrad, and I knew nothing really about optometry at the time, but I stuck with it because I really liked the interaction I had with the participants in the research studies that I was working on. So I joined some clubs in undergrad. I was in the pre-optometry club. I was in some other eye health related student organizations as well, where we would reach out and do free vision screenings or vision clinics all across the United States. I traveled around with the club, and we would go and we would do these weekend long 12-hour a day vision screenings. And that's when I really started to feel like I started to find my place for my career. And then as a Spanish major, it's typically you study abroad for a semester. So I went to Chile. I worked in a optometry clinic in Chile, in South America, for a summer. And I received not only school credit for that, but I also kind of at that moment solidified, you know, my two interests in undergrad, which were optometry and Spanish, and was able to combine them for that summer. And that rewarding experience of getting to build that interpersonal relationship with patients, not only here, but also abroad and in a different language was super interesting and something I could see myself doing for a long time. Specificity of the profession was appealing to me as well, because I also kind of like to put my all into one thing and make it, you know, I want to concentrate a lot in a certain area. So that was where optometry was really appealing to me. And that's how I kind of found my way into the profession.
Well, I can say one thing for sure. Knowing Spanish in today's age is like completely the route to go. I mean, my son, he's 2 years old and we're already talking about different languages that he needs to learn. But definitely being here in the States and practicing optometry, that can really open up your door to a lot of patients just and a lot of things that you can do abroad when it comes to, you know, doing various pro bono work or working with nonprofits and things as well. So kudos in regards to knowing Spanish. I mean, that's awesome.
Thank you. I use it also as well. I'm also the vice president of SVOSH, which is a student volunteer organization that I'm pretty sure all of the colleges of optometry have. So I use that here as well on the mission trips that we do. We just went to Ecuador a couple months ago.
Sweet.
Dr. Timmerman, would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself? Because I know as a professor at Nova, it's a long journey to get into academics as well. What inspired your optometric career?
Yeah, so kind of similar to Dalton, I also always had an interest in pursuing a healthcare field and career. And it was just through a different exposure into optometry from my own optometrist, which really solidified my career path. I'm a graduate of the Illinois College of Optometry and then complete a residency in pediatric optometry at the Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. And so I've really had a really rewarding experience throughout my path and then made my way to South Florida here at Nova. And it's just been a really great experience so far here. And especially being able to serve as a mentor for as a faculty advisor of Spectrum has been a great experience and rewarding overall.
So I want to break down the Spectrum Club because this is really exciting. Dalton, what inspired your idea to create the Spectrum Club and what is Spectrum?
So Spectrum, the club itself, is an LGBTQ and allies organization. It's open to all of the colleges here at the Health Professions Division building, which contains, you know, at Nova, we have pharmacy, dentistry, medicine, nursing, optometry. We all share the same campus. So the club is open to all colleges, but it's focused on optometric outreach to the LGBTQ community. And where the idea kind of came from is, like I mentioned, I spent my undergrad time in Columbus, Ohio, and kind of an integral part of, you know, my life, and especially outside of school, is my community. And I'm obviously part of the LGBTQ community. And back home in Columbus, I had a really large and supportive queer community around me. And I was, during that time, I was able to create some of the best friendships I've ever had and long-lasting friendships. And I really wanted to create that same opportunity for the students here at Nova and let them have that same chance to make those same lifelong friendships with members of our community and, you know, for each other to have each other's backs, you know, during you know, when times can get rough here at optometry school, you know. So obviously it's hard to transition. So I wanted to be not only have that representation and validation for members of the queer community here at the College of Optometry, but also letting prospective students know that, yes, we know it's hard to transition to optometry school, but if they're especially worried, they will know, you know, that they have a welcoming group of friends and a support system already in place when they get here. So those are kind of the main you know, reasons. And then I also find it important to, as I've mentioned, you know, I've done a lot of volunteer work. You know, I want to have a group that specifically can, you know, cater to the needs of the LGBTQ community. So I want to be able to have our students use the skills that we're learning in class to reach out to those members of my community that are in need. And, you know, we have that backing from Nova Southeastern University to say, yes, we're a legitimate organization. And, you know, we are, you know, we support this community.
So let's talk about the process. I mean, how did you get started with this? Who did you contact? Was there any pushback? I mean, let's get into the nitty gritty.
I started this way back in September of last year. I was kind of, you know, searching around for ideas, asking around to see if, you know, there would be good reception, that people would want to join. We were looking around to see, you know, we noticed that the College of Optometry didn't have their own organization. So I spoke with the assistant dean of our college, and she kind of reached out to other colleges looking to see if they had organizations that were LGBTQ specific. They did. We actually got the name Spectrum permission from another college of optometry. So we're kind of their sister club that, you know, that had already existed, but we wanted to bring, you know, our own twist, and we wanted to have it here at home. So I finally decided to initiate the club starting process. So we had to get a group together to have like a temporary executive board. I had to find a faculty advisor. I had to present the idea to our student council in a, with me standing up in front of them at a podium, giving a presentation on why I think the club would be good. They gave us a semester long probationary period, which allowed us to promote the club and kind of get our, you know, ducks in a row to possibly become a legitimate organization. During this time, we had to have a petition with at least 100 signatures. The first day I had the form, we got all 100 signatures and more from just my first year class. We had to create an official club charter. We created a official club description that will go on the NSU website. And we also held a informative meeting open to all who wanted to come that kind of gave more information about the club's ideals and goals and future plans. And then at the end of our semester long probationary period, which was just a couple weeks ago, Dr. Timmerman and I presented again to student council, and the floor is open to questions. And we kind of had a question and answer session on how the club is going to benefit the college and, you know, what we bring that is unique to the college. And we got voted into acceptance following that meeting. So that's kind of been the whole process.
Dr. Timmerman, how did you get involved with this as the faculty sponsor?
Absolutely. Thank you. So Dalton actually approached me about the idea, and I was able to help him with the initial phases through mentorship and guidance. But, you know, overall, I would really have to commend Dalton for all of his leadership, because he's really taken true responsibility and dedication in composing and organizing all the necessary documentation, meetings, and events for the group. It's really outstanding to watch this initial idea turn into such an amazing organization, and seeing it from the ground up has really been outstanding overall. Additionally, throughout its development, you know, Spectrum has had the support of other faculty members and administration here at the college to help with the logistics of starting the group and organizing community outreach events. So I will have to say, you know, it's really been a group effort, and, you know, I feel pretty honored to be able to be a part of this initial phase, and I'm really glad that, you know, Dalton was able to approach me and allow me to be a part of the team.
In addition to Dr. Timmerman becoming the faculty advisor, it was really kind of serendipitous how that worked out, as she is the chief of Kid Clinic located in Wilton Manors, which is a area in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which is where NSU is located. Wilton Manors itself is actually is kind of known as a gay community, queer area with a lot of gay friendly establishments and organizations that are like, she's literally located in the epicenter of where we want to do outreach to. So I think it's really cool actually how I was recommended, Dr. Timmerman, by our assistant dean, who's also been, you know, a great help in getting our club started and off the ground, on our feet. I guess the importance of Dr. Timmerman being our faculty advisor is that she is kind of located in the hub of where we want to do a lot of our outreach. So it's we got super lucky that we found each other, and you know, we get along great too. So everything works out. We get a lot accomplished when we work together. So
absolutely.
That's great. And speaking of getting things accomplished, obviously you guys had the success story of getting the club officially as part of the university's clubs this semester. For people that are listening, I'm kind of curious, what do you guys do at meetings? I know you said that you're having meetings, you're doing community outreach, but what are some of the topics you're covering about when you have your on-campus meeting?
Sure. So when we had our first informative meeting, it was kind of like an informal small group talk session. But I gave a presentation as well. We talked about, you know, kind of what we want to do as a club, what we want to provide to the community outside of Nova, and what we want to provide to the students at Nova. And a lot of that has kind of revolves around our future goals and plans for the club. So we talked about projects that we're planning to do. One of our main goals is to collaborate with a local organization that already does various healthcare events for the LGBTQ community. And we want to work with them in order to set up free vision screenings to kind of not only promote, you know, NSU and let our students, our members of our club practice their skills, but also we want to provide that outreach to the LGBTQ community that, you know, maybe doesn't know that we have the ability to provide these free vision screenings and give them an ocular health assessment. We're also looking to see if there's any changes or updates we can make to our patient intake forms. One thing that we are thinking about doing among a long list is adding preferred pronouns to our intake forms at clinics. We are planning other fundraisers and social events like attending the Pride Parade and Festival and going there to represent NSU, letting the queer community know that NSU sees diversity and that we have representation for the LGBT community. You know, that's kind of what we talk about. We talk about having guest speakers come in. We are planning on having members of the queer community come in and talk to students about their experience in healthcare and provide advice on proper management and interactions in a clinical setting. There are other also optometrists that have done their own work with the LGBTQ community. So we've talked about bringing them in. We talk about how we want to get our students, once we are graduated, there's an option that you can, and Dr. Timmerman knows a bit more about this, but there's an option that you can become certified as a safe provider, which is you can go online and you register as a safe provider that, and then LGBTQ persons can look you up online, and prior to coming into your office or prior coming to see you for an eye exam or any health exam, they know that you are a safe space and that you are aware of the needs of the queer community.
You know, one thing you touched on, the word that, you know, I use every single day, and Jen and I know I'm big on this, is just the experience in healthcare. You know, experience is a key thing. Let's talk about that a little more in detail. Like, what experiences have you had yourself in healthcare that was good, bad, or what do you think us as eye care professionals can do better in our exam rooms to make it more welcoming to the community?
Sure. So I haven't had any particularly bad experiences in healthcare, but I've heard a lot. And I know there are a lot of studies that have been shown that say large percentages of people, especially the transgender community, have a fear of going to the doctor, or they've had bad experiences with going to the doctor because of misgendering or improper interactions or handling of a certain situation or just inappropriate behavior in that setting. So, you know, in order to make our clinics better, in order to make our optometry clinics better, a lot of times I don't think that a lot of students realize how often that they are in interaction with someone in the LGBTQ community. I mean, that's not something that you can usually see just by looking at a person. So we are trying to make our college more aware and culturally competent. And that's extremely important in the healthcare field today, is getting that knowledge out there. So we are aware when that patient walks in the door. We know how to talk to them. We know how to, you know, properly address someone. We know how to not appear insensitive or rude in any kind of way to members of the trans or gay community. And that's how we want to kind of educate our members, and not only the members, but by holding other events here at the college and in the community at large, we're hoping to kind of spread that knowledge and information to people who otherwise wouldn't have that opportunity to learn about it. And a lot of the times, again, just the safe provider, you know, that's a good way to make your self appear like you're going to be able to provide those necessary interactions to our community.
Awesome, Dalton. And thank you for sharing that information. I'm always looking for ways to enhance the patient experience. And I really like that that concept of the safe provider.
With the Spectrum Club becoming official this year, let's talk a little bit about the on-campus reception. How many members do you have or even are projecting to have into next year's class? And what are your plans for 2019 and beyond?
So as for student numbers, I guess Dalton can maybe add to what our current membership numbers are.
So we don't have any official members yet because our probationary period lasted until just a couple weeks ago. So our informal first meeting, we had about 15 students show up, which was actually a pretty high number considering we had the meeting in a big exam time that we were having 3 exams a week. So right around our midterms. So we got about 15 people, and then we have our Facebook page, which is at Spectrum NSU CO, and we have about 40 likes on the page. So we, like I said about the student reception with the petition, we had over 100 signatures the first day. But I know Dr. Timmerman can speak on how the faculty and optometric community at large has received the club.
Absolutely. So I would say overall, there's been a tremendously positive response to Spectrum from the NSU optometry students and faculty, as well as from the larger optometric community. Dalton has done a great job identifying the initiatives and goals of Spectrum and what sets it apart from other current student organizations here on campus. In regards to our future plans for Spectrum, this would include the vision screenings and ocular health events that Dalton mentioned that would be specific to the LGBTQ community, as well as inviting speakers and organizing events centered on sensitivity training and awareness. I think we're doing a great job of identifying and also recommending solutions for our clinical services to be even more inclusive for the LGBTQ patient population. But I would say overall, I have no doubt that Spectrum will be really successful in meeting the goals set forth by the group. There's been really key players in the background that have contributed to the creation and growth of Spectrum, but I really applaud Dalton on his time, leadership, and overall dedication to the development of this great group. I know many listening understand the challenges of adjusting to the first year of optometry school, and additionally also to a new city and environment. So to see Dalton take on this initiative and really provide so much dedication and focus to Spectrum on top of his other responsibilities as a student has been really commendable and really tremendous to see overall. I'm just really proud to see where Spectrum will continue to build from the initial idea and anticipate many great things to come from this great organization.
Dalton, I have to second that. I can't applaud you enough because I know when it was my turn at optometry school, I was like, oh, I really need to focus on studying. I'm going to be too busy. And to put yourself out here to do this for your community, it's just so wonderful how much you're giving back during a time that is very stressful in your life. So thank you for all the hard work you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It is a lot of hard work. I do find myself stressed at times, and that's one of the things I was going to recommend to anyone who wants to start their own club, especially in their first year. One of the things that I would recommend starting off is having a strong group of students and friends to share the responsibility of starting the club. I've been lucky enough to have a couple of my closest friends helping me along the way to organize documents and prepare the meetings. And, we went out and we got food for the first meeting. So, they were there along the way helping. It does require a lot of planning. We're still learning who we can and can't get a hold of on the first try, to try to organize and plan different events. It requires a lot of time management. And then this is all on top of your 10 classes a semester. So be prepared to put the time and effort and then, defend your club when the time comes. If you have to present your club to your student council, your student government, there are actually, I'm pretty sure ICO, which is the Illinois College of Optometry, is starting their own LGBTQ club, kind of as a domino effect from us starting our own. And I've been in communication with some of the new members on their e-board, just letting them know that as time goes on, you need to be able to prepare and passionately defend how your club is going to fare in regards to finance and student interest and bringing new ideas and events to the students that other organizations and the curriculum doesn't already bring. So, we've had good success with that, so I'm sure they will too, but it can be, stressful for someone who's trying to maintain a good GPA.
And I think, you know, Dalton definitely would have the best perspective on this, as he's really been the true leader for Spectrum. But just from the faculty advisor perspective, you know, I would just say the advice would be just being focused on your purpose and goals for developing a student group, as this will serve as motivation to dedicate the time and energy it takes for the initial development and growth of a student organization, and really just to surpass barriers when presented. Also, it would be using the guidance and knowledge of faculty and administration, as this support is instrumental in the foundation and longevity of, you know, successful student organizations.
Great. Jen and I just want to thank you guys for being a part of the podcast today. I think this podcast has been super informative. I've learned a lot, and I'm pretty sure our listeners and followers have as well. For those that are interested in learning more about the organization or techniques to implement into their practice to give better patient care, do you guys have a social media handle, a website, Facebook account? How can people get in contact with you, Dalton?
So right now we're only on Facebook. Our page tag is at SpectrumNSUCo. It's open. It's a public page, so you can like it and see what the club is doing, what events we're planning, what we talk about at our meetings. I upload all of the presentations there. I upload photos that we do. Once we get out and start doing our social events this coming June and start doing our fundraisers in the fall, I'll be uploading pictures of those as well. So if anyone who's interested wants to keep up with the club's ongoing, you're more than welcome to like the page and you know, be there to kind of support us on our little journey.
Thank you guys so very much.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.